Now, I'm not absolutely positive. You can help me with this. But I believe that the man walking out that door right there invited everyone in this room to stay at my house tonight. Did you hear that? He said, you don't have to go home tonight. He said, you can stay. There's plenty of food. Now, it's not really my house. It's the Lord's house. It's much more yours than mine, right? I'm only here for a few little nights. But nonetheless, he invited you to stay. Now, it's not going to be easy to sleep, because we don't have a lot of room in that little apartment back there. But you're welcome, okay? Now, I'm going to turn it around since Cachero left and say this. Imagine that he invited me over tomorrow night, and I went and stayed. And after a couple of days, I said, you know what? This is a cool place to be. You've got all the food that you need. The bed is really comfortable. It's dry. It's warm. The temperature's great. The view is nice. In fact, I think I'm going to go out into the streets of Spanish Wells, and I'm going to tell them how good it is. And I'm going to say, hey, anybody that wants to come can come and stay at Cachero and Nina's place. And the refrigerator is open. Anything you need in there is yours, no matter what time of day or night. Make yourself at home. Stay in the living room. Stay in their bedroom. Stay in any bedroom you want. And you know what else? You can stay as long as you like. You don't ever have to leave. I don't know if they'd like that very well. But I'll say that we've been talking about heaven, right? And that's what the Lord has done. The Lord has created a place a lot bigger than our apartment back there, and there's room and enough to spare for every human being that's ever lived. And the Lord says that you can come, and you can stay as long as you'd like. And every single need, His hand supplies. Now, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, if you have your Bible, we're going to continue like we did last Thursday night to look very quickly at some things regarding this home that we have in glory. Now, young people, the older folks are still way back in Revelation chapter 1, but you're right at the end. You've been moving a little bit quicker, and we're going to notice two things about heaven tonight. The first is, this is a big word now, it's immensity. Do you know what that means? How immense it is, how huge it is, how big it is, okay? And we're also going to notice this. Here's another big word you may have never heard of before, but it rhymes, okay? Is that all right? So you can remember them? It's imminency. Do you know what that means? If something is imminent, that means it's right there. It's going to happen almost immediately. So we're going to look at those two things tonight. And the first one is its immensity. Let me read with you verse 16 of chapter 21 in the book of Revelation. Let's read it together. It says, and the city lies four square. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed. And he says it was 12,000 furlongs in length, or the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, a friend and I one time sat down, and we said, okay, we're going to figure out how big heaven is. It's immensity. Big, right? 1,500 cubed. Does anybody know how many square or cubic, I should say, miles that is? It's 3.375 billion cubic miles. Okay, that's just the city in heaven. Now, remember, we learned last week that this isn't heaven itself. This is that city or that great lamb that's coming down out of, not the lamb, but the city of the lamb that's coming down out of heaven. Remember that? It isn't even heaven itself. It just came down out of heaven. So we sat down with our calculators, and I'm sort of in the building business, all right? So we figured out what a normal condominium space was, and we said, okay, how many condominiums are there in this city that came down out of heaven? And I believe that we came up with a number something like this. 1,000 square foot condos, 10 feet, nice high ceilings. There are something like 55 million billion condominiums in heaven. That's a lot, isn't it? 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. And then we said, okay, for some of those people of Spanish Wells, that isn't good enough. I mean, you might as well take a 10,000 square foot mansion, right? Why put up with 1,000 square feet back here when you can have 10,000? Well, that's only a factor of what? 10. So now instead of 55 million billion, you've got 5.5 million billion, 10,000 square foot mansions in heaven. That is immense. Now, if we go back about 6,000 years and figure out how many people have ever lived on the face of this earth, it's something like maybe around 10 billion or so. Now, these people that conjecture the world's a lot older than that, they come up with a bigger number, right? But it's something like that. There are about 6 billion people in the world today, so it's approximately double. And if we say, okay, 10,000 square feet, a mansion isn't big enough, let's see how many square feet we can have, all right? Square feet are too small of a number. Why don't you just go ahead and have an island or a ranch, and it comes out to about the size of 126,000 acres per person that has ever lived. And Scripture says that there's a broad road and there's a narrow road. And I'm going to assume that though there are an unknown number, an uncountable number in heaven, a huge number, thank the Lord, are going to be partakers of His grace and receive Him and believe Him. But nonetheless, we might say that maybe the narrow holds fewer than the wide. I don't know. But if you start to divide that smaller, the size gets bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, here's a little idea for you about the size of heaven. If we take the whole surface area of this world on which we live, and we flatten it all out, if we could do that, we take the surface area of the world and we flatten it out, do you know how high we would have to go to get to the same volume that we have in this city of heaven, four square that comes down out of heaven? Any idea? You would have to go 18 miles high and take the whole surface area of the world. You can calculate it out if you'd like to. It's not hard to do. Get on the internet, get the surface area of the world, make a little couple divisions and multiplications, and you've got it. 18 miles high. It is a big land. And the large. Isn't that fascinating? To see this angel come up, this messenger, and to measure the wall, and to measure the city, and tell us how big it is? It is immense, isn't it? Now I have a question for you. How many streets are in heaven? Somebody says two. It's close. Does anybody know how many streets are in heaven? One, right? Now, the hymn writers don't always have it right, because they say they're the streets of gold, but that's not correct. There's only one street in heaven. And so we sat down with our calculators. Is that okay? And we said that there were, I mean, let's make it small. There were 30 feet and one on each side, these little apartments where everybody lived. And you know how long that street had to be? Now, I don't know, maybe they go really high or something like that, but it was 100 trillion miles long. Now, I don't know that that's really the case, right? But everybody has the same address. Everybody's on the same street. Everybody's a neighbor. Everybody's been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. What an amazing city this is. This city four square. A massive city. Now let's look at the next one. We've looked at its immensity. If you have your Bibles, young people, turn then to its imminency in chapter 22. This is our very last chapter in the Bible. And we're going to read in verse 7, first of all, a phrase. And it goes just like this. Behold, I come quickly. And then he says in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. And then he says the third time over in verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come quickly. Do you know that in a moment of time, when that shout is heard and the Lord comes, that those that are believers will be forever with the Lord in that massive home of His? I wish we had time to talk about the beauty of it. Because it's a beautiful place. We only read a couple of verses in this passage in chapter 21 of Revelation. We could read a couple. Would you like to read a couple about the beauty very quickly? And then we'll finish. Listen to verse 18. The building of the wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The foundation, the first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, a chrysoprasus. The 11th, a jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city, see, it's just one street. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Isn't that a beautiful place? Remember we talked the other night about the reality of that place. It is a real place. You could reach out and you could touch it. You could see it with your eyes. It's a real city that the Lord beckons you to stay forever and forever. That's okay if you'd like to. You can smile because your mouth isn't here just to hold your ears apart, right? You can smile about that fact. That the Lord has created for you a glorious place. And your face can even radiate a little bit with the joy of the Lord. I remember telling this to the older folks years ago, this story about a preacher that said, whenever you preach, and he was talking to young men like some of you in here, he said, whenever you preach, you make sure that your demeanor and your visage, your face, sort of represents what you're talking about, right? And so he said, when you talk about something like heaven, you let your face radiate with the very glory of God itself, if you can. You make it sound and look wonderful, right? You're excited. You smile. Your eyes are excited. And of course, on the other side, what did he say? He said, well, then if you're talking about hell, you know what he said? He thought for a minute. He couldn't really think of a good example. And he said, I think your ordinary face will do. It's pretty funny, isn't it? But we're talking about heaven. And it should be an exciting thing to recognize that God has given us this place. I just wanted to state this in closing. I hope you've heard this before because it's a very simple thought. That to come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, some people will tell us, is as easy as A, B, C, and D. All right? And if you were going to take A, you would put it this way. A, admit that you're a sinner. And that you need a Savior. That's A. Can you remember that? Admit that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And B is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone one time asked the Philippian jailer, or the Philippian jailer rather asked how he was to be saved. And what did he say? Or what did he hear? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's B, okay? A, and then B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And that verse says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can you remember that? A, admit that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. B, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. C, we confess him. And then last of all is the letter D. You know what that stands for? It stands for do it right now. And you know why that is? Because of the imminency of heaven. Because the Lord Jesus says that I am coming quickly, speedily. It could be any moment. And you know, all of us older folks that are spending maybe too much time working for things in this world and investing in things that don't count. Everything that we've ever put our time into that was outside of the Lord's things, it's going to devalue from 100% to zero in a split second. Because we're going to be with the Lord. And all those things we'll leave behind. And we'll be with Him forever. So I would just beseech each one of you tonight to behold that city, that great city, that place that God has said is going to be your home one day. And the beauty of it all and the size of it all. And what a wonder it's going to be to live there with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And to do it right now. Because the Lord Jesus is coming quickly. Let's pray, okay? Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the attention of each of the younger folk this evening. We thank You especially that You lead us in Your Word to see such wonderful things. Tonight we looked at heaven, and we saw the size of it, the breadth, the length, the height, they're all the same, an immense place. And oh Father, there's room for all, because in God's love, and in God's grace, and in God's heart, He calls just like that rich ruler did at one point when he called into the all to the wedding feast. He said, there's room and enough to spare. And God in His grace has made room for whosoever will, that none might perish. Our Father, tonight we pray for these young folk. We know this is the greatest and most eternal decision that they'll ever make. And we pray for their parents. And we pray for their siblings that know the Lord Jesus. That they would in love direct each one here that does not know the Lord Jesus to Him as Savior forever. So that they can put a smile on their face. And they can lift up their chin and lift up their eyes and wait expectantly and say this that we read earlier tonight. Even so, come Lord Jesus, we're waiting, we're ready. And Father, tonight we think of that song that says, O Lord Jesus, how long ere we hear the glad song? We just wait, Lord. We're waiting for that shout. We look forward to seeing Him. We pray these things tonight, requesting salvation for each one here. In Jesus' precious name, amen.